If you have a Bible, the book of 2 Timothy, if you'll turn to the book of 2 Timothy. As you're turning there, I want to read something to you that I saw today, and I thought, man, this just fits all our culture today, where we are, and I'm going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. This article really stirred my heart concerning some of the things that we're seeing and dealing with in our society today. It says this, it says, "It seems everybody today is furious. We've created a culture of outrage. People are offended. And if you aren't offended by what offends them, they are offended by your lack of offense." Did you get that? It seems everybody today is furious. We've created a culture of outrage. People are offended, and if you aren't offended by what offends them, they're offended by your lack of offense. Isn't that so true? And what we see in our culture and society today, everybody, and you know, we've talked about this many times, how people are just so offended these days and so easily offended. I said to my wife today, I said, I just don't understand why everybody is so mad, why everybody is so upset. Why everybody seems to be so angry these days. Why can't we just be happy? Wouldn't you like it if there was a happy pill? Just made everybody happy. Well, there is a solution to our happiness, and it's called Jesus. He fills every longing of our heart. And part of the problem is, and my wife and I were talking about this at lunch today, part of the problem is there's this gaping hole in the lives of most people, and they don't even know it's there. And you know, the sad part is that gaping hole is just as big in the lives of people who are sitting in chairs like you tonight as there are people that are lost and don't know Him. And that gaping hole is a longing for Him. They think things or events or, you know, whatever they could spend money on or wherever they could go or whatever they could do will feel, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but if we're searching for victory or joy or peace in those things, they're only going to leave us empty. He talks about a joy unspeakable. It's like the joy of the Lord you cannot put into words. It's unspeakable, the Bible says. It's just a present peace and joy that is in your life, and it radiates out from you regardless of whatever you may find yourself in. It doesn't shake you. Situation and circumstance doesn't shake you because you understand that the Lord is my shepherd. And we can declare, I shall not want, because He is my shepherd. That's why we don't have to worry about want or lack, because He is our shepherd. And our shepherd will tend to us. Our shepherd will care for us. And as the sheep of His field, we've got to listen for His voice. And so I think today, you know, we live in this just amazing time. Really, it's an amazing time in a lot of ways. And the thing that I love the most about the time that we're in is the simple fact that God saw to it that in all eternity, Donna, we are the ones entrusted with this time. All space and time that God created right now, as crazy as everything seems to be in the world, He saw to it that life was breathed into our lungs so that we could be the agents of the Most High God on planet Earth in 2017, to share forth the goodness and the mercy of the One who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but that is an amazing thing. It's an amazing opportunity. We shouldn't be throwing fuel on the fire of what is culturally correct today or isn't. We are the agents of transformation. We are the agents of change. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the One who stood at the very beginning, the One who is called the Word. We are joint heirs with Him. And He's called us into this cultural war that we live in today to be the light of the world, to be the salt, because the salt gives flavor. We're to make the difference. We're not to be the arguers or the fighters. We're the ones to be able to speak truth. Truth that'll transform. Truth that'll change. And Jesus made it real plain. It's real simple. Jesus just said, if they don't want to hear your message, just go on. Just go on. And some make that think like, oh, well, you just want them people to go to hell. You're just going to leave them. No, that's not it at all. That's not all it at all. If you're not getting your point across, Ron, you move on, because then maybe I'll come behind you. And then I'll try to make my point, and they don't want to hear me. Then maybe Jill's going to come, and then Karen and Gary and somebody else. You know, we're not the only ones on planet Earth. God's got a lot of other servants. We just plant a seed. If the seed isn't received, we don't fight. We don't fight with them about the seed. We just present the seed. We plant the seed. We let somebody else come over and begin to water the seed, right? It's not that we give up on them. It's not that we say, oh, well, then just go to hell and die then. Just die and go to hell. No, that's not. No. Because, you know, the Bible says there is a season to everything. And just quite frankly, maybe we spoke out of season and we might have done more damage than we did good. And that's why we got to be careful in season, too, in what we say and how we say things. You know, I've learned in my life sometimes, Shelley, it ain't what you say. It's sometimes how you say it. You know, for instance, you say, hey, honey, could you help me out tonight? Could you please take out the garbage? I really, and you know what? I appreciate it so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do for our family. I love you so much. Would you be able to take the garbage out tonight? Man, he'd be like a little dog wagging his tail. Yes, honey, anything else you want done? Anything else you want done? But he walks in the house and you say, hey, you old fool, get over here and take the garbage out. And what are you doing running late, coming home anyway? And you know what? I already made dinner. Yours is in the refrigerator. You want it? Go heat it up. And by the way, take the garbage out. What kind of response you think you're going to get? Sometimes it isn't what you're saying. It's how we're saying it. And I want you to pray as well for me that our president will learn that. That our president will learn that. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something in love. Keep your mouth shut about him, because God's the one who rose him up. No one comes into power without God's permission. It's true. Whether you like him or not, God's the one who put him in place. Whether you agree or not, God's the one who put him in place. But we need to pray that God will temper him, you know? I pray God tempers me. Some of you like, I just want to let it fly. No, pray God tempers you. Because sometimes, you know, we've got to trust that God is in control. You believe that? And God has allowed this moment and this time and those who are in positions, and we've got to pray that God will touch their hearts and that God will use them in profound ways and not be the agents to jump on. You know, it's just so easy to jump on everybody and everything, isn't it? If we were less likely to jump on each other and more likely to help each other, wouldn't the world be a whole different place? It really would. Some of you looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, what? What do you think about the NFL players? You don't need to know what I think. I think you already know what I think. You know what we need? We need a move of God that'll sweep this nation. And it'll start when we change our hearts. It'll start when we humble ourselves before God and that we pray. That's when we'll begin to see mighty things happen in our world. And I pray that you will take up the banner that God's called you to in this hour. And you will not only join me, but millions around this world to show forth the mercies of him who has called us. If you turn to 2 Timothy, keep there. I'm going to read John chapter 1, verse 12 and 14 to you. And then I'm going to get to Timothy with you. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 14 says, yet to all who did receive him, how many have received him? To those who believe in his name, How many believe in his name? He gave the right. He gave the right to become children of God. So if you've received him as the Son of God and you believe on him as the Son of God, he has given you the right, the legal right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. This is a spiritual event. And why he puts these other things here, they're not natural. This is not a natural occurrence. This is a spiritual occurrence. The Word, Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become the children of God, which you all know that, right? We are joint heirs with Jesus. But then he says that Jesus came and he was full of grace and full of truth. So if Christ's Spirit dwells in us, we should be full of grace and full of truth, right? Grace and truth should be incredible hallmarks to who we are as believers in Jesus. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to back up a couple of verses tonight. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For a time will come, that's where we were last week. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I want you to keep your finger there, and I want you to jump back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Know this also, verse 1. Know this, in the last days before the return of Christ, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning not stable, they're not disciplined, fierce, despisers of those that are good. These will all be signs. These will all be images. These will all be things that we'll see as the last days do approach. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as Jannes and Jambres was before Moses. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul says, but you have fully known what I stand for. You know how I live. You know my purpose. You know my faith. You know my long-suffering. You know my love, and you know my patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me. At Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions have I endured? But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Back to chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word and be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For a time will come. A time will come when they will not, when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itchy ears. Not meaning the teachers have itchy ears, the people running to the teachers will have itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A time will come. I shared last week with you the Greek word translation there for itching. I know for some of you it was very profound. Literally means to itch, to rub, to scratch, to tickle. We live in such a time where speaking powerfully from the Word of God has not become the popular thing any longer. But Titus said in Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and to refute those who oppose it. I'm going real quickly over these couple verses that I shared with you last week. Romans 16:17 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrines that you have been taught. Avoid them. We live in such a time where popular messages seem to be the required thing of the day, but they do not require change. No transformation is required. Change isn't required. Transformation isn't required. Don't challenge me. Just tell me everything's going to be okay. Tell me I should be living my best life now, and I should be living in, you know, all the goodness and all the lavishness that this world has to offer, almost as if repentance is an outdated thing. Everyone wants to hear that we're all just basically good. The Bible says our hearts are wicked and deceitful. The Scripture says, call no man good. There's only one good, it's the Father. But tell me I'm good. God's too loving. He won't condemn anyone. The blood-stained cross of Calvary is very little looked upon these days, let alone the Lamb who laid his life down and sacrificed it on that old wooden cross, that blood that flows so freely for the redemption of our sin. They say he's a way, when I declare he is the way. He is the way. He declared it. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Some want to preach this only simple concept that God is just concerned with us being happy, wealthy, and carefree, and content in this world, lavished by things. We don't want to hear about sin. We disregard the need for repentance or forgiveness. I'm talking about in our world today, in many of our modern facilities like this. It's like we crave for something new when what we really need is something old. A songwriter put it, an old wooden cross that stood on a hill far away. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10 tells us that there's nothing new under heaven or under the sun. Nothing new. We live in a time where people are longing to feel good about themselves, who they are and where they're going. We try to transform ourselves to feel better about ourselves, when the truth of the matter is, the longing isn't on the exterior, it's on the interior. What needs to be transformed, what needs to be renewed, is what's on the inside, not the outside. Oh, there's nothing wrong with trying to improve the outside, to certain degrees, I would guess. But when that becomes solely the purpose, if I can get this fixed, if I can get this lifted, if I can get this nipped, and if I can get that tucked, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because those are not the real, true longings that are in your life. Messages that just tickle, messages that just massage one's ego, fill a lot of buildings, sell a lot of books, get a lot of hits on the internet, and they can buy and pay for a lot of TV time. But these messages, they may feel good while you hear them. But when they're over, the emptiness remains. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever tried to fill a void in your life with something? Drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, clothes, surgeries, jewelry, whatever it may be. If we try to fill these voids in our life with natural things, we're going to come up empty. We're going to keep coming up empty. In John chapter 6, verse 60 and verse 66, John chapter 6, verse 60 and 66, even some of the earlier followers of Jesus, even some of the earlier followers of Jesus complained by some of the things that he said. They murmured about him. They didn't like some of the things. Matter of fact, there was a time, and you'll see in these verses, if you go and look them up, they said to him, "This is a hard thing that you're teaching. Who can accept it?" This is a hard thing. The scripture tells us that the way is narrow. It's not a broad path. It's a narrow path. It's unto righteousness. It's unto holiness. It's not a big wide path. It's a narrow path. But it's a straight path. And his disciples said to him, Who can accept that? That's a hard thing. I believe many in our churches today say that very same thing. That's hard. How can I resist those things? You need to understand, Pastor, I'm just human. You are in a fleshly shell, but you are spirit. You are a spirit that's been reborn by the Most High God. And you now are joint heirs with His Son, Jesus Christ. Your old things are gone. Well, that's part of the problem. How many got some? Well, don't raise your hand. Don't give yourself away. How many still got some old things in your pocket? How many got some old things up your sleeve still? How many still got some old things at home in the cupboard, under the bed, in the glove compartment of the car, under the seat, in the locker at work, in the bar that nobody knows you go to when you go to it? It's a straight and narrow way. It's hard to be different, isn't it? It's hard to be different. I've lived most of my life trying to be different. And sometimes I just scratch my head, Shelley. Because when you fix yourself to changing, it's really not that hard. It really isn't. It's just a choice. It's a matter of saying, I'm going to live for this way or I'm going to live that way. I'm going to serve God or I'm not going to serve God. It really is that simple. The confliction comes is when we want both. Are you with me? It's when we want both. It's like a tug of war. We're holding on both ends, and we're being pulled in both directions. We need to stop the tug of war. We need to throw one side down and grab hold of the other and just keep going in one direction. It's too hard. This is hard. And we live in a society and a time today, Sherry, where we give up on hard things. We do not like hard things. Matter of fact, nobody in here could honestly tell me tonight that you like things that are hard to do. Well, you might like some challenges. Maybe you like some challenges. But you don't like things that are hard. They didn't either. And you know what they did because they thought it was hard? From this time, many of his disciples, many of his disciples, they turned their backs and no longer followed him. You know why? Because it was too hard. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to make the sacrifices. It's just too hard. What has been too hard for you? Anything you cannot lay down has got a control over you. Anything that you cannot release has got mastery over you. Anything you cannot walk away from is ruling your life. Anything you cannot lay down is controlling you. Oh, it ain't controlling me. No, you can't let go of it. It's controlling you. If you can't lay it down, it's ruling your life and it's dictating to you. Who's controlling who? Do you ever see somebody walking a big old dog and that dog's dragging him around? When my wife and I saw this person walking a dog one day, and that dog was walking the person is what was happening. That dog was pulling them all over the place. I said, who's walking who? Who's got control of who? That person had no control over that dog. That dog was just doing whatever it wanted to do, and that person was being dragged all over the place and looking kind of silly while doing it. Sometimes we look silly doing what we're doing. Sometimes we look silly partaking of the things we partake in. I'm going to give you a number of scripture tonight. I hope I got enough time. I may have to be like rapid fire with this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you pull it up on your smartphone, your iPad, or your Bible, however you want to do it, it doesn't matter to me. We get them up here, these guys back there. I'll get them up on the screens for you. Are they up on the screens? Yep, there they are. Galatians 2:20. I have been, here's the problem. Here's the problem. We've not been willing to die to ourselves. We've not been willing to walk away from sin. We've not been willing to give up our past. I have been crucified with Christ. Ooh, those are serious terms. That's too hard. How many of you, I said to you tonight, hey, come on, we're going to crucify you with Christ. You know, back in those days, that only meant one thing. Hey, come on, Nate, let's get the cross up here. We're going to crucify some people tonight. No, that's not literally what it means. But it means we need to be willing to lay down our life for him. And some did even have to lay down on a cross. I have been crucified with Christ no longer. And it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. What the writer is saying to us here is I have given up my own desires, my own will. I don't wrestle anymore with my own lusts. I don't wrestle anymore with my own flesh. But Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with him. And it's no longer I don't live no more. See, when we come to Christ, there's the point. We have to stop what we were before we came to him and then become what he wants us to be. We can't be who we were, what we were, and how we were pre-Christ. After Christ, there's transformation. Everything about the born again experience is transformation to the day we leave this earth. We'll never hit perfection on this earth. We'll never hit where we need to be on this earth. We're learning and we're growing and we're being challenged every single day. But the key is we recognize that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So the life I live now in this fleshly shell, I live it by what? Faith. Faith. That's another area we struggle with. Trusting. What is faith? Hebrews says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet what not seen. It isn't faith if you can see it. Is it faith if you can hold it? You know, it'd be silly tonight if Gary said, Pastor, tonight I'm going to give you $100 to take your wife out to dinner. And I say, oh, I'm going to believe tonight for $100 to take my wife out to dinner. That ain't faith. That ain't faith at all. Because he already told me he was going to give it to me, and he's a man of his word. So if he told me he was going to give it to me, he would give it to me. That takes no faith at all. That takes no faith at all. But we're admonished here as we live in this fleshly shell. So is it possible to live differently than we've lived before? Absolutely, because he's just telling us. And now we live it by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So when we come to the conclusion that he died so that we could live, he sacrificed so that we could be victorious, it should change and transform how we see our life in him. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through verse number 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That in reference to your former, say former. How many of you here got a former? Raise your hand if you got a former. Raise your hand if you're a tweener. I don't mean you're like a teenager in between being a teen. I mean if you're a tweener between the former and the new. You're a tweener. You're somewhere in the middle. You've prayed a prayer. You say you believe in Jesus, but you're not really turned from. You're somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. In reference to your former manner of life, the way you, in reference to your old self, you lay aside the old self. You what? Excuse me? What do you want me to do? You lay aside. Oh, that's too hard. Now, you know, you had me the whole way up until you started this laying aside stuff, giving up things, and blah, blah. And see, it isn't giving up, because when you love someone, you want to be pleasing in their sight. You want to be pleased. When you love God, you want to be pleasing in God's sight. See, I don't look at it as if I'm giving up anything. I look at it what I'm gaining. See, it's a matter of perspective. Well, you mean I can't do what I used to do no more? No, but look what you can do now. See, it's not a matter of, oh, I got to sacrifice that. No, you ain't going to have time for that because you're going to be doing all this. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of transformation. That's why the Bible says, renewing your mind by the transforming of the word. We renew our minds, meaning we think differently. We don't think the way we used to think. I have this incredible problem. Can I confess it to you tonight? I do. I have this incredible problem. I live it every day of my life. And Karen, I can't get away from it. I cannot get away from it. I have this incredible thing every day in my life that every time I see a need, I got to do something. I don't have time to do things the way I used to. Because every time, there are so many, Ron, sometimes I get overwhelmed by the things and I'll say to God, you know, you just got to show me the ones that you want me to. Show me what you need, because I can't do everything. I can't meet every need. I can't be a part of everything. But so make it real to me, the ones that I need to be a part of. Reveal to me the ones that you want me to put my energy into, because I can't do everything, and there'll be somebody else that he'll direct to do the other ones. But I love to meet needs. I love to reach out to people. I love to help people. My desire is to want to help people. That was Jesus. I love helping people. I told my wife the other day, I said, I wish I had an unlimited supply of money. I really do. Because I would just love walking around handing people $100 bills. I had one, brother. I'd give it to you. Some of you are like, you mean they print them that big? Yeah, they do. I just love. Could you imagine going into the grocery store and you're seeing a mom there and, you know, she's kind of struggling because you've heard a kid saying, well, can we get the Pop-Tarts? And she goes, well, we can't afford those today. Could you imagine walking up and pulling five $100 bills out of your pocket and saying, hey, you know what? I wasn't trying to overhear, but I heard you say, here, go ahead and get the Pop-Tarts and get whatever else you need today. Who are you? That's not important. Why are you doing this? Because Jesus loves you and he cares for you. I love, there's not a need I see that I don't want to meet. That's just in my heart. My wife and I are like that all the time. We want to help. We want to be a part. But see, you can't always be that way if you're just, well, what am I going to get? What am I going to gain? What am I going to have? What? And the crazy thing about it is, that when we do that and we live that way and we live that manner, how God just over and over and over and over and over and over again meets our needs and just puts things right in our path. It's amazing. It's astounding. But it's God, and it's God's work if we will just trust him. Lay aside your old self. Deal with it. The old man wasn't so good anyway. That's why it needed redeemed. If something needed redeemed, that means it wasn't good the way it was. Are you with me? Why are y'all looking at me like that? If it needs redeemed, you know, you can say amen, right? We're allowed to do that in a church like this. You're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to say praise the Lord. You're even allowed to say that's good preaching. Lay aside that old stuff. You know, we had a neighbor that was a drunk. And I mean, he was a drunk. He beat his wife on a regular basis. Their kids used to come to our house and ask us to call the police because they were afraid their dad was going to kill their mom. I mean, this was a weekly occurrence. This was, you'd know, 11 o'clock at night, boom, 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 boom. Who was it? You knew who it was. Can you call the police? Call the police. Daddy's going to kill mom. Daddy's going to kill mom. Yeah, we'd call the police. The police would come up. You know, this was back in the days before you weren't allowed to drive drunk. And you know what the police would they'd say? You going to press charges? She'd say no. They'd say, get in your car and take a ride. And he'd be blasted out of his mind, get in his car, and take off down the road. Anybody remember those days? And the kids sometimes would sleep in the corner of between the garage and the house. There was a flat roof on the garage. They'd climb out the boy's window, and they'd huddle in the corner because they was afraid he'd kill them. You know why I don't drink? Because I saw what it did to him. I don't drink because I think I'm better. I don't even drink because I necessarily think a bear's going to send me to hell. I drink because I know what it did to him. And if you don't think that can happen to you, you're a fool. And whatever seed you're planting in yourself, don't be despised because you're planting it in your children's. You may be able to handle it, but they may not. Because let me tell you something about a seed. Oh, God. Let me tell you something about a seed. A seed is something that goes in, but it's got to grow. That seed may not even bother you, but when it starts growing, that seed starts growing, and it starts growing in the life of your children or growing in the life of your grandchildren. Why do you think so many of those things are generational? Don't let that garbage in. Don't let it into your house. Don't let that garbage just. And again, I'm not saying that I don't drink simply because I think scripturally it's 100% wrong, because you would probably struggle to find that in the Bible. It tells you not to be a drunkard. Paul tells Timothy a little wine is good for his belly. Scripture talks about moderation, but it also talks about stumbling blocks. In other words, Gary, if I know if I drink and you see me drink, that's going to cause you to stumble, then I should refrain. For the simple fact, I don't want you to stumble. I love you enough, I don't want you to stumble, so I'm not going to do it. That's love. That's love. That's sacrifice. Good Lord Jesus. Now I know why you're all looking at me like that. I'm looking at myself like that. I don't drink because I don't want. They had a party over there one night, and it was New Year's Eve, and my mom and dad had a party at our house, and one of the women that were at our house looked out the window and she said, "Get all the kids away from the window." So what do you think all the kids did? We ran to the window, right? And there's Sonny, that was his name, Sonny. Sonny standing, buck naked. In the driveway, because he took off all his clothes because he threw up. And he was so intoxicated, I tell you the truth, he thought the car window was the washing machine. He was throwing his clothes in the washing machine. At a very young age, I'm telling you, Donna, between 11 and 12 years old, right here, between 11 and 12, this man right here said, "I will never be a fool like that." 11 years old, in my own mind, Ron, I called my elder. I called somebody that I knew a fool. At 11, 12, I said, "I'll never be like that fool, ever." I remember it, Karen. I remember it as today. I will never be like that fool, standing butt naked out there in the driveway, throwing his clothes in the window like it's a washing machine. He's a fool. And then I begin to think, what made him a fool? What he was doing. What he was doing made him. There are people incarcerated today because they were having a good time. They were happy. So they thought. And made a mistake. And then pay the price for it. We got to lay aside some things. You know, you think you may get away with porn till your six-year-old finds it underneath your bed. Till you don't erase the screen on the computer and they're 100 times smarter in that computer than you are, and they turn it on and find what you didn't think nobody would find. And now that seed is manifest in them. Well, let's not even talk about those things. Let's just talk about selfishness. Well, about the lack of need or desire to be compassionate for someone else. Go ahead, plant that in your children. To know to do good and not do it. How about the lack of relevance to the house of the Lord? Plant that one in your children. We're seeing the results of that. And so are a lot of other churches in the world. We grew up in the same circle. We grew up in the same church, pretty much. Isn't that funny? We did. Same ministry, same church. You didn't even know each other. On a midweek service back then. Huh? How many chairs were empty? Huh? Full. They were full. The seats were full. You couldn't get any more into the house on a midweek service. Sunday night service. We had to have three services back then because we couldn't get the people in. We had to have Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights, Sunday nights and Sunday mornings. In some cases, even more groups and small groups and whatever, just because of the desire and hunger. But somewhere along the line, we planted the seed that it's not important to go midweek anymore. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16. That's a lot of seeds planted, ain't it? It's a lot of seeds planted. Well, it doesn't become relevant any longer because we start following after, you know, you read statistics, our youth group sizes are dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. And parents who once were a part of vibrant, lively youth groups don't even see the need to bring their own kids to them any longer. It's amazing, isn't it? Because we're out chasing the dream. We're chasing the dream. How many know anybody's chasing a dream? Nobody here is chasing the dream. How many know somebody's chasing the dream, though? Keeping up with the Detlings, or I mean the Joneses, right? How many know somebody's trying to keep up with something? You know anybody that has to buy something every time you buy something? Anybody know somebody that has to get something just because you got something? Well, we all know people like that, don't we? The old self, the bitter self, the angry self, the one not offering forgiveness or grace or mercy because we're bitter, we're hurt, we're angry. Man, a day. If we were all like that, there wouldn't be many people in these buildings anymore. If everybody was hurt, just left. We'd clean the place out tonight. If we all just stopped going to church because we'd been hurt at some point or another in our life or because we were angry at something or somebody. I'm not going to get through these. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceit. And that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Lay aside those things because they're corrupt. They're deceit. And they're in accordance to lust. They're in accordance to the flesh. If it's deceit, is it God? I got a couple shaking heads. If it's deceit, is it God? No. Why? because God is not a deceiver. Who is a deceiver? Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the great dragon, the one who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He is the deceiver. And that you may be renewed, changed, transformed. I like them fixer-upper shows. I do. I like them in one way, and another way they bother you. Because you like see, I like seeing the transformation, but then it wants you to want something new. You know what I mean? Oh, so many of you are going to be so sad. Chip and Joanna are going to be done. They're not going to be doing Fixer Upper no more. They're going to quit. They've got too many other things going on now. They got all their other things that they're going to be doing. I mean, they're still going to do stuff, but they're not going to be on TV anymore. How many ever saw the show I'm talking about? It's a good show. Good people. Good Christian people. They now employ 400 people. 400 people work for them in their little business. Not little, but in their business that they've created. Good Christian people. But I read in an article the other day where they said they've been renewed by Jesus. They've been born again in their lives, and they love the Lord. And they've come to a place where they just realize they got too many irons in the fire, and they can't keep doing everything that they're doing, and they need to scale things back a little bit. And I thought, good for them. Good for them to recognize that in their life. I think all of us would do well to scale back a little bit at times in our life. Hey, if Jesus saw it important to rest, shouldn't we? You be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new. Now that doesn't mean that you put it on. It means that you, some of you got that. It means that you clothe yourself. It doesn't mean that you put it on. Have you ever put something on? You know what I mean. How many ever acted happy when you weren't? You were putting it on. How many of you ever acted like you knew something you didn't know? You were putting it on, right? Now, this is talking about clothing yourself, putting on the new self, clothing ourselves in the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness of the truth. So there's a barometer. The barometer is this. When people see you and I, do they see righteousness, holiness, and truth? Because if those three things aren't hallmarks in our life, then we're just putting it on. You know what I mean? We're just putting it on. We haven't put it on. We're just putting it on. There's a big difference. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Oh, good Lord, I got 5 minutes. Philippians 3, 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Can you, what? He said, what did he say? I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, there's value in knowing Christ Jesus. There's not value in the other things that you think you're losing. See, when you got to let something go, there ain't no value in what you're letting go anyway. Because there's value in knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. In other words, what he's saying is the things mean nothing. They're like rubbish. They're nothing to me, but that I may gain Christ. Huh? He said, I lay aside anything so that I would gain Christ. Wow, if we had a little bit of that in our society today. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. What? He said, what? Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body. How many of you have an earthly body? How many have just, you have no idea what you're even doing in life? You don't know what you are. You don't even know where you're at. You don't even know what planet you're on. You're just existing. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly bodies as dead to immorality, impurity, passion. Now, this isn't talking about good passion. This is talking about a passion that burns for things that are not good. How many of you ever had a passion for something that wasn't good? It was disguised in L-O-V-E, love, love. You thought you were in love. How many here at one point in your life, you thought you were in love, and you found out it was nothing more than a good time, so you thought. How many ever thought you were in love and found out it was a big waste of your time? Dead to immorality. Why are we so enthralled by immorality? Why? Impurity. I'm just talking about the church. I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about in the church. We wonder why we don't see powerful things happening. You know, well, when we got buildings full of sinful nature, and again, none of you tonight, because you all have put it on. You're not putting it on, right? We've all put it on. Some of you are going to be going, huh? Put it on. Evil desires. Have you ever had a desire that you even thought to yourself, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that? Did you ever have a thought in your mind and then you were like, well, I hope nobody else knew what I was just thinking? Hey, guys, did you ever walk by a pretty woman and think something and think, I hope she can't read minds? Huh? Ladies, you ever go by a guy and he's got a shirt unbuttoned down to here and you're like, ooh, he's sexy. Ooh. Lust. I wish my husband looked like that. Well, stop feeding him everything you're feeding him. And greed, evil desires and greed. You know, and if I look at somebody when I say one of these, it ain't because I'm looking at you. I got to look at somebody. You're like, oh, yeah, you're looking at me when you said that. I saw that. You're looking at me. I got to look somewhere. Well, I'll just do this. Therefore, consider the member. I'm not looking at any of you. The members of your earthly body as deeds to immorality and impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Why does he tell us to die to ourselves? Because the old man was full of lust, immorality, impurities, evil desires, passions that weren't good, and greed. My goodness. Luke 9:23, and we're coming to an end. And he was saying to them all, meaning Jesus, if anyone wishes to come after me, how many of you want to follow Christ? I mean, honestly, you want to follow Christ. I believe you do. I want to. I want to follow Christ. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must. That's it. We're done. Denying myself. I'm sick of that stuff. He must deny. Ron, this is just too hard. Everybody come back Sunday morning. I'm going to preach on nothing but God just wants to give you money, 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 bless you, heal you, set you free. He's going to give you a mansion, a Rolls Royce, a Mercedes. No, that's not what I'm going to preach Sunday morning. But some of you are like, yeah, I'm coming. I'll be early this week. Jesus said if anyone wants to follow me, he's got to deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, Jesus is simply saying to us, to follow him, we can't keep doing it the way we've been doing it. We can't keep thinking the way we've been thinking. Can't keep acting the way we've been acting. We've got to be renewed, transformed in our mind. And the renewing and the transforming in the mind then begins to resonate out of the person. When the mind changes, the person changes. I had an old pastor friend tell me one time about different people that he's known over the years, and he said the sad part is truly this. He said over the years, he said, I've had friends. He said, I have a friend, a man in my church. He said, we got him saved, got him out of the bar stool where he argued and fought over sports and politics and everything else he could fight over. We got him saved and out of the bar. Now he sits in the second pew and he argues about the Sunday school teacher. He argues about the elders. He argues about the deacons. He argues about the parking lot. He argues about the sound system. He argues about the worship. He argues about the length of the sermons. He changed location. But was he ever transformed? Are you with me? Huh? Does that make sense to you? He changed location, but he never transformed. And that's the important thing, that we transform into the image and likeness of Christ. Isn't that good stuff? That's good stuff. That's good stuff. We've got to be changed. We've got to change. And that's the only way we're going to win people to the Lord, Jill, is when they see us different. When they see us changed. That's what will speak to the world. Wow, what's different about them? There's something different. What is it? Well, I died. I said that to a guy the other day. He said, what is it about you? I said, I died. He said, get out. I didn't even know you were sick. I said, brother, I was sicker than you could have ever imagined. He's like, I didn't know. I wish somebody would have told me. He said, you died. I said, I was dead. Get out. He said to his wife, he was dead. Yeah, I was dead. They're like, holy cow, your poor wife, she was through it. I said, oh, no, that was before her. Wait a minute, we knew you back then. When did you die? I said, well, I died to sin. I died to sin. Oh, come on. You're drinking the juice, aren't you? I said, no, actually, I'm serving it up. I'm a pastor. I preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He died for me. And I laid down my life, and I now live for him. And I try to teach and show people every single day that same pathway. I love my life. I do. I love my life. Now, that doesn't mean I'd like to do without some people sometimes, but I love my... How many know what I'm talking about? It doesn't mean I don't have any struggles or difficulties. It doesn't mean, you know, I don't have things that I do. But Shelly, I love my life. I love my life in Christ. And that's why I say all the time, how's it working for you? How's it working for you? Because I see so many people today, and it's amazing. My wife said to me the other day, she said, Sean, it's unbelievable. It's like sometimes you just look right inside a person. You see things sometimes that it's just, I don't know, you just see it. Said it's a void. They got a gaping hole in their spirit. They're longing for Christ, and they don't even know it. They're empty, and they're trying to fill it with all these things. And you know why they got to keep getting other things? Because they'd never really surrendered to the one thing that would change and transform them and make them whole. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for the privilege of being here tonight. And I pray, God, if your word has touched